This podcast extra is part of your Slate Plus membership.
Now it is time, if you're still here, you're a Slate Plus member. It's time for your exclusive bonus segment. We're going to talk about sports and comedy with a man who is an expert on, I think, both of those things. I'll be charitable.
Thank you.
Over the weekend, HBO premiered a bizarre and quite funny 45-minute mockumentary called 7 Days in Hell. Andy Samberg starred as a drug-addicted, blonde-mulleted underwear impresario with a dramatic rise and fall from the top ranks of the game of tennis. It was strange and funny, I thought, in a way that comedies that have anything to do with sports rarely are. I think maybe because it was so weird. I don't know if that... I'm having a hard time putting my finger on it, so perhaps the comedy/Andy Samberg expert can explain to me what was different about this episode.
Well, I think it... you know, sports is a little bit tricky for comedy because you are always aiming at some level to entertain as many people as you can. And if you're not a sports fan, you're probably not going to watch this. Now, that calculus changes a little when Andy does stuff because Andy has a lot of different fans in a lot of different arenas. He's got fans who came to him for his music or his Lonely Island videos that he does with his comedy partners, Jorma Taccone and Akiva. And he's also got SNL fans, and he's got hopefully Brooklyn Nine-Nine fans. He's got a lot of fans from a lot of different places. So this doing something like this makes more sense. But really what it comes down to is he thought this idea was funny, and he wrote it. This guy named Murray Miller wrote it, who's a longtime friend of his, who's a hilarious guy. And in this case, I think that it has a real life precedent, right? It's the Eisner Mahut match from Wimbledon in 2010. Did I pronounce Mahut right? Is that how you say it?
I think you didn't pronounce Isner right.
Isner? Isner?
You pronounced Mahut right.
I got Mahut and blew Isner. All right, Isner-Mahut. The precedent is the Isner-Mahut match from Wimbledon. And that was a story that like kind of transcended sports. It captured people's imagination. People who didn't care at all about tennis can understand whatever it was, 70 to 68 or whatever the final was, the final set. So I think that the subject matter just is inherently funny. And then, you know, he's the Agassi sort of archetype is a funny character. The sort of stiff upper lip Brit who in this case, Kit Harington plays his opponent, who's a Brit who's been like raised from youth to win Wimbledon and who has almost zero level of intellectual ability. And so it's just funny characters in a funny situation. And hopefully that means that it got a lot of fans from a lot of viewers from a lot of different angles.
And I think it also tried to do the later Christopher Guest thing, more post Spinal Tap, Best in Show, where you try to be true to the form more than going for punchlines. There
right.
are gags, but if you said, I watched it and laughed out loud a couple times, but enjoyed it the whole time, that's the effect it wants. It doesn't want to do anything to break with the documentary form it's mocking. And also, we need to lose the phrase mockumentary.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that, that we need to lose that phrase mockumentary. But yeah, that's a good point. It's a very loving tribute to HBO. Sports documentaries to the sort of real sports model. It nails all of those beats really well. It has, you know, appearances by John McEnroe and Serena Williams and Jim Lampley sort of playing a bizarre version of himself. The running joke with Lampley, which really made me laugh, is that he hates tennis. It's like a completely out of nowhere thing about Jim Lampley. It just keeps talking about how much he hates tennis. So it had a very recognizable sort of precedent, which made it a lot more fun to watch than if it were just sort of willy-nilly mockumentary.
So on Parks and Rec, you had a lot of athlete guest stars. Roy Hibbert, Detlef Schrempf were kind of two of the more notable ones. But the premises weren't like, you know, highly like sports-based, like super specific knowledge required. So what was your thinking in just putting an athlete in a scenario? Like, why would you even think to do that in the first place?
Mostly because I love sports. But honestly, the
self-indulgence.
Yeah, it's a little bit self-indulgent. But like, you know, the story behind Hibbert is great. And it's that I was in the writer's room. We just finished a season of the show. And we were sort of cleaning up some of the end of the season. And my assistant came in and said, there's a guy on the phone named David Falk.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is a strange coincidence. that there's another person in the world who's calling me whose name is David Falk. So I went in and they said, "Hi, Mike, my name is David Falk. I'm a sports agent." And I said, "Yes, I know who you are. You're Michael Jordan's agent. I've heard of you." And
does he introduce himself as super agent David Falk?
I wish he did. That would be great. No, he was incredibly polite. And he said, "Listen, I represent this guy named Roy Hibbert. He's, went to Georgetown and plays for the Pacers." And I said, "Yeah, I know Roy. He's a professional basketball player." And he said, "Listen, he loves your show. And the show's set in Indiana and he plays for the Pacers. And he wants to know about being on your show. Can I put him in touch with you?" And I said, "Absolutely." And so I got on the phone maybe the next day with Falk and Roy Hibbert. And he said, "I love the show. I think it's really funny. I love Aziz Ansari. I love Amy Poehler. I want to be on the show." And I said, "Listen, we just finished shooting this season. But yes, I can personally guarantee you that I will figure out a way to get you, Roy Hibbert, 7 foot tall, 7 foot, 2 inch tall, whatever you are, basketball player on my TV show. That's a no-brainer. That's hilarious, especially since you play for the Pacers." So that's how it happened. And then we just kept coming up with different ways to use him and get him involved. And then Detlef Schrempf had been on the show earlier because we had needed a sort of celebrity for an episode Amy Poehler wrote called The Telethon, and we needed someone to come. And Detlef Schrempf has long been a favorite of mine, as any NBA fan from that era would say, probably a favorite player, both because of his name and because of his abilities. And he played for the Pacers too, so we called him and he was like, "Yeah, sounds good." Like, his kid played for UCLA and he came down to LA all the time. And it was sometimes these things just sort of happen. And in both of those cases, that was the way it unfolded. Was it just sort of like, "Oh yeah, that sounds good," and then it happened.
The other kind of great sports moment for those of us who loved Fire Joe Morgan was the law firm of F. Ward, Dips, Windshares, Grit, Babbitt, Pakoda, Vorp, and Eckstein. Did anyone else on the staff or any of the actors have any idea what that was referring to?
Well, the other two got main player. In fact, the other three main writers of Fire Joe Morgan, Dave King, Alan Yang, and Matt Murray, were all writers on Parks and Rec by that point. yes, those three guys. In fact, that really was Matt Murray's joke. I love crazy law firm names. I love it when Monty Python does it. Mouse, Bat, Follicle, Goose, Creature, Ampazone, Spawn, Wap, Caplet, Loose Liver, Vendetta, and Prang. Law firm. Actually, that's an advertising firm. But I love crazy law firms. Like, Thomas Pynchon always has crazy law firm names. I love them. And at some point that train started leaving the station, and Matt Murray was the one who came up with Four Dips, Windchairs. He came up with Babbitt, Pakoda, Vorp, and Eckstein. That was his thing. And then we added four more of them when there was apparently a merger. But that was a joke for about 100 people. And jokes for 100 people are great when they don't interfere with the rest of the show. Like, as long as it's not like you're not taking it's not a huge distraction. The camera focused on the name of that law firm for about 1 second before it panned off to the action. And if you don't know what those words mean, which is 99.9% of the people watching, you just think it's a law firm and you move on with your life and it doesn't affect you. But if you do know what those words mean, you go crazy and you tweet, and that's what happened. And it was very fun to watch people react to that after it aired.
As an NPR guy, I liked your Michael Silverblatt-esque public radio host, and that's a deep dive.
Yeah.
And his playing of the Icelandic lesbian art collective. They're terrible, I know, but they are lesbians.
They are lesbians, yeah. Well, that was Dan Castellaneta. We asked from The Simpsons, we asked him to do it, and he said, "I think I want to do it as Michael Silverblatt." And I was like, you're Dan Castellaneta. You can do whatever you want. So
you can take a KCRW show with 12,000 listeners and just blow it up. Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Well, that one definitely went over my head.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So I'm glad to have it explained.
Yeah.
I also wanted to ask, finally, did you see the David Eckstein response? The video that was made.
I did. Yeah.
I'm gonna play that clip now for our listeners.
Have you or one of your loved ones been in an accident? Do you not understand the unwritten laws of baseball because no one has written them down? Do you want a lawyer who will answer your page within 48 hours? Well, now you can. Hi, I'm David Eckstein, a BABIP, PCOTA, VORP, and Eckstein, attorneys at law, Pawnee's premier legal service. A lot of lawyers will throw statistics at you, like how many cases they've won or that they went to law school. Well, I have a number for you. 4. It's the number of chambers in the best law book money can buy. My heart.
Not bad.
What did you make of that?
I loved it. For it made me think several things. Number one, if I ever met David Eckstein, I think we'd be friends. Like, that guy's got a great sense of humor. And number two, you know, our beef with David Eckstein wasn't actually with David Eckstein. It was with the people who wrote about David Eckstein. Because the people who wrote about David Eckstein wrote exclusively that he was underrated. And they, when you write about someone being underrated 5 million times, they are by definition no longer underrated. And so I was so happy that what he was going after in that video, and whoever wrote it did a great job, was that exact same thing. It was the cliches. He was making fun of the cliches that were applied to him, which made me think he must be a really good dude who kind of gets it and understands that we weren't making fun of him. He was a Major League Baseball player. He was one of the 500 best baseball players in the entire world for a very long amount of time. That's an amazing accomplishment. It was really about, you know, it's what we talk about when we talk about baseball. That's what we were going after.
Much like Jake Gyllenhaal in Nightcrawler, or Robert Loggia, or David Eckstein on The Base Paths, I would describe that performance as gritty.
All right, Mike Scherr, thank you so much for coming on the show. And thank you, Slate Plus members, for being Slate Plus members. We will be back next week.